reading from the book of Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. And Paul entered the synagogue for 3 months, and he spoke out boldly and argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. The word of the Lord. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, of course. Of course, we all have. Sort of. Sort of. And not as much as we should have. I think many people are confused about the baptism of John and a Christian baptism, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and what that gift of the Holy Spirit does for us. Incredible. Incredible, really. You know, we read in Genesis that all people are created in the image of God. But when we're baptized with a Christian baptism and the Holy Spirit enters us, we're not only remade in the image of God or fixed our image of godness, we are actually divinized. We are made part of the body of Christ, that is, part of God's very own self. More than just the image, we become divinized, one with God. That is incredible. And that has so many effects. Of course, it erases original sin and opens the way to be with God in heaven, but it does so much more. And it was taking that seriously, the effects of baptism and the Holy Spirit coming upon us, that made such a difference at the Second Vatican Council. Reevaluating, what are the essentials in theology? Do we have our priorities a little wrong? The first thing it did, of course, was to unleash the charismatic movement. Like we hear of in the reading today, people speaking in tongues, Catholics speaking in tongues, prophesying. Amazing. But the Holy Spirit in your soul praying can do that. The second thing, then, was it made us take the ecumenical movement much more seriously. Perhaps you might even say it's the birth or the rebirth of the ecumenical movement. Because realizing that if people in other denominations are actually receiving the same baptism that we're receiving, well then in some sense, we're all already one. We are all part of the body of Christ. And we can't just dismiss them as other, as not our concern, because now our ongoing differences are felt more, because there's a basis for unity there that doesn't let out its fullness. And so that impetus to try and do something to reunite with these other religions receives such an emphasis when we really take seriously the fact that if we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we all become one in the body of Christ. Perhaps the biggest thing, though, or the one with the most wide-ranging consequences that we're still working on today, would be what it says about the relative importance of the different priesthoods in Christianity. there's ministerial priesthood that comes with ordination. And certainly that's a transformation, a mark on the soul. But it's not as much as large a jump of a transformation as the transformation that comes with a priesthood that comes with ordinary believers at baptism. Because at baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit makes us divinized, makes us part of the body of Christ. That rewrites us completely. It doesn't just give us a few new abilities. It completely transforms us, and it sets us on a path that is so different. And so at the Second Vatican Council, coming to understand the importance of baptism, we finally said maybe the essential sacrament, the thing we should be most concerned about, isn't holy orders. It should be baptism. And our theology about what it means to be a follower of Christ should flow from our baptism. And then be conditioned in other ways, whether we're in holy orders, whether we're married, whether we're in vows in a religious order. But the truly transformative thing, the power of our life, comes from the fact of baptism, the Holy Spirit entering into us, grafting us onto the body of Christ. And that's a power that we truly don't give enough credence to in our day-to-day lives. If we really understood how we're being divinized, we would stand in amazement. We would act, as Paul did, boldly proclaiming the good news, feeling that Spirit within us, letting it out, letting that transformation have an effect in our lives. So this I just propose for today's meditation. Think about the transformative power of the Holy Spirit working within you. Do you let that transformation have enough effect in your life?